This is Captain Trish Odessa signing into my first log. I'm not supposed to be here. I belong in the project, maybe. I feel like I earned that, but I shouldn't be on this ship. I shouldn't have this position, and I shouldn't be in charge. Maybe this is a bad way to start a record. It's supposed to be professional. It's an official record, a log of our time in the project. Everything we've done, everything we're thinking, how well we held it all together when things got intense. I'm just not very good at sounding official, like I know what I'm doing. Not even if it's for a grade. Who's going to listen to this anyways? They'll probably lock it up in a room somewhere and no one will actually care, so I guess I'll just keep talking and hope I do something right along the way. That's how I always do things, and sometimes I get lucky. People say that if you don't know where to start, you should start at the beginning. So, the beginning is that this is the Ender, just an average patrol ship, and it's not really mine. It was supposed to go to Milo Nielsen, who's always been meant to be a captain, who trained for this, knew the whole crew. He was my friend. He's been working for a ship like this since he found out he was getting into the project. Milo is the person they made the role of captain for. They're probably going to put his face on posters and write fancy news stories to convince everyone why they should come join the Institute, so they could be a model student like him. He didn't even have to try very hard. He was good at it. He used to always sit behind me in classes. That was the first time I met him. I kept turning around to look at him when I got bored. I would laugh at how he sat straight up all the time, like he wasn't real. But that's just the way he did everything. Upright and at attention. That's why it surprised us when we all found out he was rich. He worked for everything like you wouldn't see it if he didn't work hard, and he never missed a class. Not like some of the other kids who paid to get in. Milo always put in the work, and he wanted this more than any of us. I think he just wanted to get away. People used to laugh at him because he paid too much attention, didn't joke around. He always told us to be quiet if we started whispering in class. He hid in the corner and studied when we had parties, but that's just the way he was. He didn't care about what other people did or what they said or what they thought. He did what he wanted to do without being embarrassed about it. So he never participated in anything. He just watched. It was a little creepy at first, honestly, but that's just the way he was. He liked knowing what was going on, and he liked reading people. He always had a good read on the situation. I didn't think we were ever going to get along. I was a little scared when we got partnered up for the first time, but I found out something about Milo that other people didn't know. Because other people didn't talk to him. If you let him talk, if you listen, he won't stop, and he'll trust you. He had ideas I would have never thought of. He wanted to hear what I had to say, and he wanted to discuss it. He noticed everything around him, absorbed it like a sponge. He just spent so much time thinking about things that most of the time it didn't make sense outside of his head. I liked that. I liked a lot of things about Milo. He didn't talk much, but when he did, it was in class, asking questions. He had a lot of them. He always waited until the end. Every time, every class. He would stand up and he would start asking. His work always got done, but if he didn't agree with it, he would let them know. And even if he did, he would have something to ask. Sometimes it was about the theory or the numbers, but most of the time he wanted to know why. Why we learned this, why this person made that decision, why the Bright Eyes Project is designed so some of us are low-level crew members and some of us are captains, and why they decide that for us before we even begin. We could have left the class when it was over, but most of us would just sit and listen to him ask questions, staring the teachers down like he was interrogating them. I think we all wanted to know those answers too. They kept handing out punishments, but they didn't stop him from asking the questions. I think it was the questions that made him a captain. Wanting answers, even when the rest of us weren't brave enough to ask. Captains are supposed to ask questions. Hard questions, important questions. The ones that really matter. They have to be willing to want to hear the answers, even if they're not going to like them. So, that's making me wonder why I'm here. I'm the one who never tried to ask. I want to ask some of those questions now. I'm the captain, right? They can't punish me for it now. They can't make me stop doing my job. They wanted me to start this log with the story of how I got here. Maybe you guys want to know how I got to the Institute, what made me want to fly through the stars and be the pilot I was supposed to be. Maybe you want to know how I made it through years of classes to get all the way to the project, but if I'm going to be talking about how I got here, I'll talk about getting here, to the captain's seat, where I'm not supposed to be. Captains ask questions, and if I'm the captain now, I'm going to ask some questions about this. I'm going to talk about Milo, the real captain. I don't actually know. He was the only one who acted weird or surprised when he got his assignment. We all got them during breakfast at the same time when they popped up on our touchpads, and we all stopped to see what they said. Everyone talked about it, but Milo just stared at his, like he wanted to set it on fire. Like he was scared. He didn't say anything about it, and he didn't have any questions that day, but I didn't ask about it, and he didn't tell me. He almost always told me things. Maybe I didn't really want to know. I don't know what was in Milo's file. I think it must have been close to the one I have sitting in front of me now. It has my name and rank on the front, a crew roster, a list of assignments, time to report, the dress code, and protocol. That's something new, too. I have a uniform I never thought I'd wear. I've been wearing pilot's gray for months now. This uniform's too blue. I wore it today, and everyone stared at me as I walked down the hall to sign the forms and accept my assignment. I think everyone else is starting to ask questions about this, too. This uniform is significant. This uniform means something. It means I'm a part of something that most people will never see in their lives. Something you dream about until you make it. The Bright Eyes Project is a unique one, and you don't see the inside until you're right in the middle of it. And even then, you still don't know if you're someone like me. They want it to be secretive, and they've done a great job with that. Probably because nobody but the Athena Institute can afford to section off an entire chunk of space and turn it into a training ground for potential prodigies. They run specialized programs that divide us out into ships and positions and crews that find where we perform the best and put us there. They tell us constantly that real-life experience is the most valuable teacher, better than any class we could attend in the academy. Then they turn us loose, watch us from every angle, and pick out the best from among us. For a whole year, they'll be watching us, but we won't really know that. It'll just be us. Our bright little eyes and a whole lot of black to float through. They say our assignments are random. I don't believe them. I think they've already been watching us, testing us, figuring out where we belong. I've been a pilot for 6 years now. They were right about that. I fit in there. So they know all the questions Milo asked, too. What he wanted to know, what he wrote down, and maybe even what he thought. The Institute knows everything about us. If that's true, then there's no reason for this change. I should be piloting a cargo ship with long weeks out in space and lots of protocol, not captaining a free-moving ship patrolling made-up borders. They've pushed me into something that I don't know how to do. Something totally different. This isn't peaceful. This isn't something that needs memorization and getting along with your fellow crew. This is something that needs me to ask questions and think quickly, and those are two things I'm definitely not good at. Maybe they just want me to crash and burn. Maybe it's a punishment. If you're listening right now, maybe you'll change your minds. Do you see how this is going? I'm not smart. I'm way too good at going around in circles. Milo should be here, but he's not, and... I'll have to get to it eventually. I just... It's not my story, but... I want this to be the first thing on the record. If anyone does actually listen to these, I want them to know. Or know that I know. I want them to realize what's happening. And I want to remember it for myself. While it's still fresh in my head. I want to have a way. I want to remember all of this. Before I forget and I go out there and try to captain a crew that doesn't know me. Besides, it's a way to get through the night. I have my own room now, after years of sharing, and it's too quiet. No one else talking, no one else breathing, just my voice. And that sounds weird if I listen to it for too long. All I can hear is the ship when I'm quiet. It's rumbling around me. Breathing. That's the way the engineers talk about it. The mechanics, the kids learning how to handle the engines and guts of this thing. They talk like the ships are alive. If I lean back against the wall, I think I can understand why. I can hear it. I can feel it. It sounds like it's breathing, and I don't know if that's comforting or scary. I keep thinking about what I have to do. This isn't a classroom anymore. If I screw up, if I give a wrong order, we could actually die out there. It's happened before. We all hear the stories. I keep going through it in my head, and there's a thousand ways I could kill the whole ship before we even start our first assignment, but they handed me this big thing, and I have no idea where to go with it or what needs to be done. I don't know how to stand there in front of my crew and tell them what we're doing when they know I don't know. When they're thinking that they've been waiting to follow Milo because he's a genius and it's just me now. They're right. Milo should be here, but he's... I need to say it. People need to know. I don't actually know where he is. It happened this morning. It feels like it was weeks ago. Like if I wanted to, I could forget it. Like, I've been confused for days now, trying to figure everything out. I know how to put together reports. They taught us all, but it's different when it's this. Okay. Milo drew things. Wrote things. On his touchpad when he was in class, or while he was eating, or whenever else he could get away with it. If there was nothing else, he had a marker and he would mark up his arm as far as he could reach, covering it with those doodles. Most of the time, you couldn't tell what it was. They just looked like circles and squares, scribbles. Sometimes words, with crooked handwriting, jumping across his skin so you could hardly read it. I never saw it, but his roommate said he would draw on the walls at night when he couldn't sleep. He would write poems, and he would draw people and creatures, ships and planets and stars. Things no one had ever seen. he would cover the walls all night, and in the morning, when they came back from breakfast, the room would smell like paint, and he would have a white canvas again. That's just what his roommate said. There were never any pictures. And I asked Milo about it once. He wouldn't answer that either. He just shook his head. He didn't like those kinds of questions. I saw him last night, right before curfew. They made it early so we could all get some sleep, they said. Like that was going to happen. It turns out we all have a lot to say when we aren't going to see each other for a whole year. Mostly we just sat around, talking, trying to fit a whole year of conversations into a few hours before bed. I tried to talk too, even to the people I wouldn't see normally. That felt important. It's the end of something big and the beginning of something else. I found Milo in the corner on his own. He wasn't talking to anyone. He was just sitting there. He has friends. He must have already said goodbye to them. He didn't look sad or lonely. He was just watching like he usually does. Watching a little harder than usual, but I thought that was just nerves. He wouldn't tell anyone if he was scared. People always act like they remember exactly what they said to other people. I don't. I wish I did. I know that I said hello, and I know that he looked at me, and I know that all the usual things happened. We talked about nothing at all and lots of things. We cracked some jokes. Milo didn't ask any questions, though. I didn't ask any, but that's normal. We weren't gonna see each other for a whole year, and we didn't know how to fill an awkward silence. I hate it more the more I think about it. I think I told him I was gonna miss him. I think he smiled a little. Milo never smiles for people, so you don't know this, but he has a nice smile. If you can get it out of him. I got really, really good at that. He hugged me goodbye when they called curfew, and I should have said something else, something important. I knew I probably wasn't going to see him today, but I told him goodbye, and then I left. They lock the doors to our quarters at night. It's the best way to keep people from sneaking out. The doors that stand between the main hall and the girls' bunks are thick and clear, and slide open and shut, but once they're locked, no getting through. They're completely soundproof too, so I don't know what woke me up early this morning. Everyone was still asleep, the room was quiet, I was just awake. I don't think I had a nightmare, but my heart was pounding like I had. Usually it would be fine, I would just try to go back to sleep, but it didn't feel right this time. Something was wrong. I shouldn't have gotten up, I know that, but I did. No one was up, it was empty and dark. Just the glowing strip down the hall that helps you find your way if you need something in the middle of the night. There were no alarms, there was no anything. But I thought I could see flickers from around the corner where the door would be, so I went that way. I know I shouldn't have. I know they could punish me for that, but I have to tell the story anyways, don't I? I'm not sorry. I'm not going to hide it. You know how sometimes you just feel things? Nothing happens, but it's there. Like, you've swallowed something bad and it's just sticking in your stomach, and someone is sewing up your chest tight until you can't breathe anymore. That's how it felt. Like I was going to die. So I should have turned around, but I kept going anyways. I had to know. The glass door going out into the main hall was cold. I know because I put my hand against it, trying to squint into the black on the other side. There should have just been white hallway and glowing green strips, and there was, but there was something on the walls, too. It covered the whole right side of the hallway on the other side of the door. I couldn't see much of it, but the glow strips gave me enough to go on. I don't know where he got so much paint, and I don't know how you could even find colors that bright and neon. Bright enough to hurt your eyes. Blue and orange and pink and purple. I could see everything, and I didn't like it. He drew circles, arcs, shapes, and lines. There wasn't enough light to see what it was, but he must have worked faster than he normally does because it was a mess out there. Paint dripped half dry off the walls, smeared in places. There was a puddle of it on the ground. Mostly, it was pictures, but he wrote the one word in red so people could see it. Perfectly clear, standing out on the wall, Milo did what he was best at. Milo asked a question. I thought I was making it up. I thought it was a dream and I wanted to wake up. I thought I could fix it, but I blinked and I couldn't wake up. I should have gotten someone right then. I should have screamed for help. Shouldn't I have? I don't know, but I looked at the ground before I turned to get someone, and it wasn't paint on the ground. It wasn't the same red as Milo's question. I know it wasn't. I should have screamed. I should have let everyone see it. I should have done something. But I just stood there. I looked at the paint and I looked at the ground. I stood there for a really long time. That was early this morning. Later, they told us that Milo had to go home. He was sick or hurt. I don't remember exactly what they said, but when I got back from breakfast, the uniform was on my bunk with that data pad on top of it. And what are you going to do? You follow orders at Athena Institute. You go through the project. Even captains take orders from somebody, I guess. We have to leave in 8 hours. I should be well rested for that, but I don't know how to sleep. I don't know how to not scream. I guess I got through this okay. I wanted to remember, and now I can. Maybe that'll help. I'm going to have to figure out how to captain the Ender. I'm going to have to hold command of this ship for a year, and I'm going to show them that they can't throw me this curveball without an explanation. I'm going to show them that taking my boyfriend won't ruin me. It won't make me fail. It won't make me any less determined. I have to get through this. I have to graduate. When you join the project, they tell you that you're needed. That the galaxy needs captains, pilots, researchers, and explorers to dive into the stars. They're always looking for determined young people who do what needs to be done. They need ships like Ender and captains who ask questions. This project is a chance that won't come again. It's the opportunity of a lifetime, and I've worked hard for it. So I'm going to take it, and I'm going to be the best. This isn't your pilot speaking. This is your captain, Captain Trish Odessa of Ender, and I want to know what Milo wanted to know so badly he wrote it on the wall. I want to know why.
Is written and produced by Amy Meester. You can find her on Twitter at @TheAmyMeester. The voice of Trish Odessa is Sydney Fontaine. Follow her on Twitter at Sydney Fontaine. Music by Cyrus Fontaine. To hear more of his work and to find original Bright Eyes pieces, look for him on Bandcamp or go to @CyrusFontaine on Twitter. For more info on the podcast and creators, or to find us elsewhere on the web, go to www.brighteyespodcast.wixsite.com/brighteyes.